morning. Most of you know that I am a PTS. I was a PTS student. So now it's vacation for a cook. So he's in Nepal. So I'm still staying in PTS campus, me with few friends. Since cook is away, we have to cook. So, and I started learning cooking only after coming to PTS. Even though I'm not a professional, but since it is the food, even if the taste is not so good, it gives strength to me. The same way, since Pastor Sammy is away, as I am giving you the food, even though the taste may be not the same, but it is the word of God which gives life. So I believe it's edifying. And today, Brother Soman will turn to Psalm again, Psalm 99. I'm reading from ESV. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord and he answered them. In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them, and they kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. O Lord, O God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. By simple reading we understand the theme of the psalm is holiness of God. Holiness of God. We see in verse 3, he says, holy is he. Again, in verse 5, he says, holy is he. Again, he says in verse 9, Lord our God is holy. These are the three stanzas we can find in this psalm. So this psalm is divided into three parts. And the psalmist focuses on the holiness of God. And what does holiness of God to do with me? How does it affect? If you read in the scriptures, Isaiah chapter 6, you know, when Isaiah got a glimpse of the holiness of God, you know what happened? Woe is me. He realized how sinful he is. And the second thing, when he cried out for salvation, he was healed. You know, the seraphim brought a burning coal and when touched with the lips, he said, "It is, you are clean now." When he cried out, knowing that he is sinful, he got the grace of God. Only when you understand the true holiness of God, you will understand the grace of God. That will bring us to knees and worship God. And it's not that worship that we just sing on Sundays. You know how Isaiah lived? Turn to Isaiah chapter 20. Isaiah chapter 20. It's not just on Sunday morning. He lived all his life in worship. Isaiah chapter 20. Verse 1. In the year that the commander-in-chief, who was sent by Sargon, the king of Assyria, came to Ashdod and fought against it and captured it, and at that time the Lord spoke to Isaiah the son of Amos, saying, "Go and loose the sackcloth from your waist and take off your sandals from your feet." And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. You know, he preached gospel naked, barefoot. What is this worship? He lived a life of worship. Even when God asked to go naked and preach gospel, he went and did. That is the beauty of holiness. If you understand the true holiness of God, it will affect your life in continual worship of God. Today, from this psalm also, we will learn to fuel our worship with our holiness of King, holiness of our King. Our fuel for our worship is holiness of King, nothing else. You see in verse 8, O Lord, O God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Even for people of God, even after forgiveness, to go to Him, we need Christ, because He is holy. And if we sin, He will spank us, because He is holy. And this holiness is not something that will drive out of God's presence, but is actually attracts us to God. You see, when Isaiah saw the beauty of God, holiness of God, he didn't run away, but he moved more close to God. That's the beauty of the holiness of God. And we'll see three perspectives that will help us to fuel our worship. And the first is we will see in verse 1-3. 1-3. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. We should tremble. We should tremble. Tremble at what? Lord's reign, His throne. We should tremble before God's might. Trembling means shaking. Fearing God and shaking. People say it's a negative emotion, but it isn't true. It is a healthy emotion. God Himself in the scriptures commands us to fear Him. You remember Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. You know what God says? If I am your father, where is my honor? If I am your master, why don't you fear? Do you fear God? Fear. Not reverential fear, respect like you respect your father. No. Fear. Literally. Trembling. It's not just in the Old Testament. New Testament also. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, submit to one another with fear of Christ. Fear. We have to fear the Lord. Tremble. Because He is might. And we'll see two reasons to tremble. Two reasons to tremble in one from verse 1 and 1-3. And in verse 1, he says, He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. He talks about the throne. We should tremble. Why? The Lord reigns in His righteousness, in His holiness. And where is His throne? His throne is above cherubim. You know, cherubim are heavenly beings. We can see in Isaiah chapter 6 as well. They close two eyes with two wings, and then they fly with two wings, and then close their feet with two wings, and then they worship all day, holy, holy, holy God. These are the heavenly beings. Where is His throne? His throne is in heaven. It's not in New Delhi. It's not in America. It's in heaven. He is above all. You know how small the earth is? There are galaxies, Milky Ways. And then if you just zoom out, you need microscope to look earth. And then how small India is, how small Goa is, how small Cornerstone is, how small Daryl is, how small his brain is. How small we are. He is above all. He has sovereign control. He is the sovereign King. That is the first reason that we should tremble. He is a sovereign King who sits above all. We should fear Him. Isaiah 40:22. It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. This is the God whom we worship. Shouldn't we tremble at Him? Psalm 104:2. Covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He stretches out heavens like a tent. This God is mighty. His throne is above all. We should tremble before God. And the second motive to tremble at Him is seen in verses 2 and 3. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted above all the peoples. He says, Lord is great in Zion. Isn't Lord great everywhere? What does he mean when he says, the Lord is great in Zion? Psalm 132:13 helps us. It says, God chose Israel and displayed his nature and made his name great in Zion. God, by displaying his nature, he makes his great name great. And he is exalted over all the peoples. Tell me, what is the greatest manifestation of God's nature in Zion? Zion is holy hill, Jerusalem. In Psalms, when the psalmist used Zion, he talks about Jerusalem. So what is the greatest manifestation of God, that exalted God in Zion? It's not the temple. You remember? It's the cross. On the cross, God displayed his love towards us. On the cross, he displayed his holiness. On the cross, he displayed his wrath against the sin. On the cross, he displayed his righteousness by punishing the sin. The greatest display of God's nature is cross. And he made his name great on cross. That is the greatest display. And it says, he is exalted over all the peoples. This is the same word that is used in Isaiah chapter 52. When he talks about the servant of God, Isaiah chapter 52:13 says, behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. He's talking about Christ. Christ is the one who exalted God's name on the cross. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Christ exalted God's name. Christ's name is exalted. He received a name that is above every name. And for what reason? Verse 10 says, so that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Romans 14, Paul even here talks of the same thing. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Why? So then each of us will give an account to God. We have to give an account to God. We are judged by this righteous God, Jesus Christ. One day you and me should stand before this God and we have to give an account. We have to live in fear. Philippians chapter 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, whenever you remember of cross, it's not just, hey Jesus, thank you so much for dying. It should also remind that it is the sin, it is your sin, it is my sin that costed that. And we should fear him and not sin. We should tremble. We should fear. Because Christ is our judge. Fear is healthy. We should add this to our prayer lives. Lord, bless me with the fear of the Lord. It is the beginning of the wisdom. In childhood, I used to fear my father. Even now I fear. But it is more. I don't have short time memory loss, but I forget things. And once I happened to forget my chappal. Not once, not twice, thrice. The third time, it's just the same week. And the third time my dad said, this time, if you forget, you're going to get spanking. I said, no, Papa, no, for sure I will remember. And then same day, I went to play, I forgot. 4 o'clock, our school gets over. Till 7, I was roaming in my hometown. I went to all the places I went to my friend's place. I asked him, he said, oh. Then I went to a playground. And that's an American Baptist mission ground. There are no lights. It's a big ground with all big, big trees. It's all dark. But I still, in the dark, I went to search for my chapel. They are worried. And then it's 7. And the people took me back to home. And then, why? My parents asked, why are you late? And I said, I lost chapel even today. Because I was fearing. And I said, don't you fear? It's all dark out there. And I said, I fear, Dad. What made me brave? My fear towards my dad. If you are fearing God, you will be brave to live for God in this world. Fear of God is good. It protects us. We will be safe. So above all, in our prayer list, we should add fear of God. Lord, bless me with the fear of God. Do you pray for the fear of the Lord? You better do from now. Even I do. And the second perspective that will fuel our worship, we'll find in verses 4 and 5. The second perspective. See, in verse 5, he says, exalt the Lord, our God, worship at his footstool. Worship means bow down, literally means bow down. We should also bow down before God's purposes. That's the perspective, second perspective that will help us to fuel our worship. We should bow down to God's purposes. As I said, the footstool. In the olden days, the kings used to have thrones. And the throne, every throne has a footstool. And if someone rages a war against him and the king wins, they will throw the other party on the footstool of king. If he doesn't fall on the footstool of king, the king is going to kill him. But if he falls, the king decides what should happen to this person. He decides whether he should live or whether he should die. It is in the hands of this king. If we bow down to Christ, if we fall on the footstool of Christ, we are friends with him. If we submit, if we bow down to God, Lord Jesus Christ, we are friends with him. This is the picture what he is talking about. We should bow down to God. You remember Psalm 2 verse 12? It's a messianic psalm. He says, kiss the son lest he be angry. Kissing the son is also symbolic to the same thing, bowing down. You kiss the hand of the king and say, I'm submitting to you. If you kiss the hand of Christ, you are friend with Christ. If you fall on the feet of Christ, you are friends with Christ. If not, you are waging a war. We have to submit to Lordship of Christ in our lives. And there are two reasons that will motivate us to fall on, to bow down on Christ's feet. That is, first is, he is just. He is a king who is just. Just means God exercising his authority with fairness and equality. It is very hard to submit to people, those who are unjust. Right? During my engineering days, college days, we had one of our professor who is not strong on subject. So he tries to control the classroom by being soft to those who are rebellious. And then he used to be hard on those who are soft. But that didn't work out. He thought, if I be soft to these rebellious people, they will be kind to me, they will not disrespect me, they will sit silent in the class. However, these soft people, they will sit silently. But when these soft people saw he being so kind to rebellious people, even this soft people started rebelling against the professor. You are thrown, or else your leadership will be stable when you are righteously leading, when you are just in your leading. God's throne is just. He reigns with justice. That is why his kingdom is standard. It is he who gave the law. He executes the law with justice. And since the God is just, because God doesn't take advantage of you, you can submit to him. We fear to submit to somebody because they might misuse your kindness. But God is just. We should submit to him. 1 Peter 2:13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put silence to the ignorance of foolish people. Peter reminded Christians to submit to all human authority as well. Because, not because they are great, because Christ is above all. As we saw, that Christ's throne is above all. We have to submit to Christ. So wherever you are, you may be a school teacher, you may be mother, you may be a manager, but you are under Christ, not under human authority. You are under Christ. And then we submit to human authority because Christ is above them. So no matter what the circumstances is, we should submit to Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9, when Isaiah talks about Jesus Christ incarnation, he talks about his throne and he says, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. His throne is just and righteous. And Psalm 97:2, clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. His throne is just and righteous. That's what the second reason is, that will help us to bow down. That is his righteousness. He is righteous. The fundamental idea of righteousness is strictly obeying to the law. It is the Lord who gives the law. He is the standard. Whatever he does is right. Righteousness. He cannot do apart from what is right. He is righteous. You remember Matthew chapter 26 in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Jesus Christ prayed like this: My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus Christ, in the darkest hour, submitted to God because he knows that the Father is just and righteous. Whatever the situation might be, we should also submit to God because he is righteous and he is just. Sometimes the situations may not be promising. It may not look good. You may lose your property. You may lose your fame, name, but still believe it is Christ who is above all and submit to the human authority. I see many people not paying income taxes. They say, hey, GST, they are taking too much here. We will not include that. They try to do some gamblings. They say, he is looting, the government is looting me. We don't need to worry about that. Christ deals with them. You submit to Lordship of Christ. You pay the taxes. You submit to the authority. Because Christ is the judge who judges. And if you live righteously like this, you might lose property, you might lose name, fame, but your reward is not here. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me. It is Christ Jesus who will award you for your righteous life. Hebrews 1:8 says, but of the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprighteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Scepter means a ceremonial emblem, staff. His throne is righteous. He will reward us if we submit to him. And the second perspective, sorry, it's a third perspective. The first perspective is to tremble at his might, and the second perspective is to bow down at his purposes, and the third perspective that will fuel our worship is drawing near. Draw near to God's leadership. That we see in verses 6 to 9. Submitting to God's leadership. You see, Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord and he answered them. The psalmist is talking how Moses, Aaron, Samuel continuously submitted to the lordship of God. We listened to Exodus chapter 33, right? A couple of weeks ago. How Moses continuously went back to the Lord's guidance. Whenever he faced a problem, he did not try to deal with his wisdom. He went back to the Lord. Lord, help me in leading these people. The Samuel did the same. Lord, help me leading these people. They want to be under the leadership of God. At first, Moses said, I don't want to do this job, Lord, he said. But later, in Exodus chapter 3, he interceded for Israel. Lord, please lead them. These are your people. That's what God's holiness does. When we know him more, we want him more. We will be attracted towards him. Attracted towards his lordship. And there are two encouragements that will help us to go near to God, draw near to God. That is, that he is approachable king. We talked about how big his throne is, how infinitely great it is, and how righteous he is, but yet he is accessible. He is great, he is righteous, but he is still accessible. He is approachable. You can go to him because of his grace. Moses and Aaron were priests. They went with sacrifices, and God forgave them and they answered them. In the pillar of cloud, he spoke to them and they kept his testimonies. If you read Psalm 106, the psalmist recollects all the mercies that God has done. And then finally he says in verse 43, many times he delivered them, but they were rebellious in their purposes and were brought low through their iniquity. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. When we cry, he will run towards us. Jesus Christ said, when Peter asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? 77. Seven times. Multiple times. N number of times. If we cry out, if we are true to ourselves, if we repent and go to God, he is approachable. He will forgive us. He is approachable. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect have been tempted and as we are, yet without sin. He sympathizes with us. 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if you sin, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We don't have Moses, we don't have Samuel, but we have great high priest Jesus Christ at Father. If we approach Father to Christ, He will forgive us. Do you approach Him? Do you take counsel? Moses, Samuel, they took counsel from the Lord. He answered them. See, He continuously reminds that when they called, He answered them. They kept His testimonies in verse 7 and the statue that He gave them. They approached for the guidance so that they might obey. Do we approach God in our life for guidance? He is great God. He is great high priest. If we approach Him, He will guide us. He will help to submit to Him. And the second motivation to draw near to Him is that He is a merciful judge. You see, He says in verse 8, you were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. He forgives, but He spanks. He forgives, but He spanks. We cannot be casual with sin and be intimate with God. I worked in youth ministry for a few months before coming to PTS. And then I see youth being so casual. How is your relationship with Christ? Oh, it's very wonderful. So they even their prayers are so casual. Hi Jesus, how are you today? I'm doing well. Thank you for your love. And He's not a... Jesus is a friend. They said, Jesus is, yes, of course, yeah, He is your friend. But when you submit to Him, He is not a friend of, from your college to put hand over Him and walk. The more close you get to God, the more you intimate you get to God, the more you will fear. He is an avenger of wrongdoings. If you have no fear for God, then it shows that you are not intimate with God. If one person is walking intimately with God, he fears God. He is the avenger of wrongdoings. If we are intimate, we will hate sin. If we are intimate with God, we will hate sin. We can't be casual with sin and intimate with God. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6 says, God spanks His loving son. God is loving, kind, compassionate, but none of that negotiates how wrathful God is towards sin. Revelation 13:19 says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Because God loves you, He will spank you. He will spank me. We should all be intimate with the Lord and hate sin. God's holiness. God's holiness means how separate God is from us. Infinitely separate. Infinitely perfect. Morally pure. And also infinitely valuable. And His holiness is seen in His throne, how huge He is. His holiness is seen in His reign. His holiness is seen in His love, grace. Remembering all this, we should fuel our worship. We should bow down to this holy God. Overall on this earth, what is God doing? What God wants us to be? You remember John chapter 4 verse 23? Jesus says, but the hour is coming and is now here. When the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit. The Father is seeking true worshippers. For the Father is seeking the people who worship Him with the Spirit and the truth. He is seeking true worshippers. And the fuel is the holiness of God. How might He is. How righteous He reigns. How gracious He is. This will help us to fuel our worship. We'll close in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you so much for revealing your holiness through your scriptures. Father, thank you for your Son who revealed you more clearly. And thank you so much, Father, for Cornerstone and for me, that you have given privilege to know you and to worship you. I pray for Cornerstone and for me, Lord, that we will be people who will tremble, we will fear at your might. I pray that we will live in obedience to you, submit in life, Lord. I also pray that we will draw close to you, we will live intimately with you, Lord, hating the sin. I pray all this will be true in our lives. We submit this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.